Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts, and it's Tuesday, apparently, the 7th of the 6th, 2016, or June 7th, 2016, as they say over here in America. Apparently, anyways, allegedly, however you want to look at it. Hopefully, we'll get some more people to pop in the chat there. It's 9 p.m., just past 9, in the U.K., Ireland, Scotland, and elsewhere in the EU. It's just past 4 p.m. here in the Eastern U.S. But I want to welcome, are you addressing me? Dodzer, Ian Alone, Eugene McFall, Jim Bob, John Bravo. Wow, that's a name I haven't seen in the chat room for a while. Welcome back, John. Newman, Salmazar, Sovereign Soul. Myself and Vin, Big Vin. Anyways, just going to, I don't know, talk about some things. Anyone is welcome to come on and join me if they'd like to. I will put my Skype in the People's Internet Radio chat if someone who doesn't have it can grab it and come on and have a little chinwag if they would like. But it's basically, just like my chat name there with the number one on the end. That's my Skype that I'm using. So anyone wants to hit me up on Skype, they're more than welcome to and come on and talk about some things. But if not, I'll just waffle on. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of people. Oh, somebody else just popped in there. Anyways, Tiz me. Hi, Tiz. How are you doing? I think people are listening, but they're not signed in. And then when they hear somebody talking, they sign in. I don't know. That seems to be the case sometimes. But and welcome, Connor. Start coming in at 9 p.m. That's a good thing. I hope that'll be a good thing for a long, long time. Anyways, I had a few thoughts on my mind. But if somebody has questions, they can put them in the chat. More than welcome to, and I will talk about these types of things if I do know. If I don't, I will have to tell you the truth. I'm not going to make stuff up. But anyways, I had the discussion with somebody else on Sunday on the other network, the other show that I do. Hi, Connor. The question keeps coming up. What do we have to do to get through to people? I don't know all of the things that we need to do, but I do know that we do need to keep repeating our truth. We need to keep telling it over and over before people start to catch on. And hopefully they will catch on. I don't really, I'm not really in the know as far as what goes on with the elite and the governments and stuff like that, because they do keep their secrets. They try to keep them from all of us. That's their main purpose: deceive and be deceptive, deceive us, lie to us, whatever they have to do to keep their control. I think they're willing to do. For the most part, it is lie and deceive. A lot of us know that they are outright lying, and a lot of people that still believe in the media and still believe in the government, they do know that they are outright lying, but yet they still keep believing it. I know the word cognitive dissonance comes up a lot, and it just needs to be repeated. People just need to be able to get through, get past these lies, and finally say enough is enough. No, they're not going to tell any of us, Dodger, that's for sure. But I think just keep repeating, just keep being passive, and just keep talking to people that you meet in the coffee shops or the cafes, the restaurants, the markets, the marketplaces. I know sometimes I have these t-shirts that I bought from the internet. They have the different pictures on them, and they have the different little sayings, and sometimes they can be conversation starters. I have a lot of liberty-minded T-shirts. I've gotten off of the InfoWars websites many, many years ago. I haven't gotten anything from them for a while because I finally had to say enough was enough of InfoWars. They had too many lies exposed, and I just heard too many stories that weren't being explained away by Alex Jones and the people at InfoWars. So I finally just had to stop listening to them. But, welcome, Noel. I see Noel just popped in there. Hopefully we'll get some more people in. Maybe get some more messages out there. I put a message on Facebook out there. Anybody would like to join me? And also the People's Internet Radio Skype chat there. Anyone would like to join me there? More than welcome to. But, I just have to keep wondering, what is it going to take? It's not going to be easy to turn these things around, to turn the corruption around, turn the tides on these people that do have control. All we can do is keep telling the truth. I believe it was Mahatma Gandhi one time said that even if you're in the minority of a one, the truth is still the truth. I know a lot of people need to get over the ridicule that is placed upon us on the internet because we don't have the recognition and the respect of the masses yet. I know that there's a lot of idiots out there on the internet that are claiming to be with the resistance, and all they're doing is making the rest of us look bad with their outlandish claims and their just childish actions. They're making it bad for the rest of us, that's for sure. Making it tough on the rest of us. Making it tough on good people that are trying to do good things for the whole world, all of our countries. Me here in America, a lot of you over there in Ireland and Scotland and the UK, Spain. Don't even know all the countries that are listening to PIR right now, but I know there's quite a few over there in Europe, and we're trying to gain some more listeners over here in America, but without the big funding, without the big corporation funding and the advertising, we just have to use the word of mouth. We just have to tell all your friends on all the social medias or all the friends in your neighborhood. Turn on a computer or... I know over here in America, I'm not sure how difficult it would be over there in Ireland and Scotland. I know the internet is quite terrible over there, but over here in America, I can listen on my cell phone. I've got a little app. I can bring up the website, bring up the Fastcast player, and listen while I'm going down the road, or listen while I'm at a store or something. I know the cell signals are a lot better over here. I'm not sure how it would work over there, but there's always that possibility. But I'm going to put another song on here and get some more thoughts, or maybe two songs, short ones here, and gather some more thoughts. If anybody has any questions, they're more than welcome to put them in the chat there or hit me up on Skype, and we'll talk about some things. So we'll be right back here in just a few minutes, everyone. Sorry about that. Welcome back, everyone. I just had somebody try to call me on Facebook there. I guess maybe I need to get rid of Facebook before they try calling again. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really need to take a Facebook call from somebody I don't even know. So maybe I will just get rid of that right now. See what happens. I was going to try to keep Facebook up to look over some things, and I did find something today. It seems that there's a case at Stanford University I guess somebody named Brock Turner got 6 months, got a 6 month sentence over here for rape or alleged rape or whatever. I'm going to play this little CNN clip and read this thing that's going on here. Read the article. I'll be right back here.
Your Honor, if it is all right for the majority of this statement, I would like to address the defendant directly. You don't know me, but you've been inside me, and that's why we're here today. On January 17th, 2015, it was a quiet Saturday night at home. I sat at the table with my younger sister, who was visiting for the weekend. It was my only night with her, so I had nothing better to do. Why not? There's a dumb party minutes from my house. I would go. I made silly faces. I let my guard down, drank too much liquor. Fast, not factoring in that my tolerance had significantly lowered since college. The next thing I remember, I was in a gurney in a hallway. I had dried blood and bandages on the backs of my hands and elbow. A deputy explained I had been assaulted. When I was finally allowed to use the restroom, I pulled down my hospital pants that they'd given me, and I went to pull down my underwear, and I felt nothing. The thin piece of fabric, the only thing between my vagina and anything else, was missing, and everything inside me was silenced. And then I felt pine needles scratching the back of my neck, and I started pulling them out of my hair. I thought maybe the pine needles had fallen from a tree onto my head. My brain was talking my gut into not collapsing. I was asked to sign papers that said, rape victim. And I thought, something has really happened. My clothes were confiscated, and I stood naked while the nurses held a ruler to various abrasions on my body and photographed them. The three of us worked to comb the pine needles out of my hair and six hands to fill one paper bag. After a few hours of this, they let me shower. I stood there examining my body beneath the stream of water, and I decided I don't want my body anymore. I was terrified of it. I didn't know what had been in it. I wanted to take off my body like a jacket and leave it at the hospital with everything else. On that morning, all that I was told was that I had been found behind a dumpster. One day I was at work, scrolling through the news on my phone, and I came across an article. In it, I read and learned for the first time about how I was found unconscious with my hair disheveled, long necklace wrapped around my neck, bra pulled out of my dress, dress pulled off over my shoulders and pulled up above my waist, that I was butt naked all the way down to my boots, legs spread apart, and had been penetrated by a foreign object by someone I did not recognize. I learned what happened to me the same time everyone else in the world learned what happened to me. That's when the pine needles in my hair made sense. I thought, there is no way this is going to trial. There were witnesses. There was dirt in my body. He's going to settle, formally apologize, and we will both move on. Instead, I was told he hired a powerful attorney, expert witnesses, private investigators who were going to try and find details about my personal life to use against me, find loopholes in my story to invalidate me and my sister, in order to show that this sexual assault was in fact a misunderstanding. You have dragged me through this hell with you, dipped me back into that night again and again. You knocked down both our towers. I collapsed at the same time you did. Your damage was concrete, stripped of titles, degrees, enrollment. My damage was internal, unseen. I carry it with me.
While she is happy that her story is continuing and people are shedding light to this very important issue, she does want to remain anonymous. And here's what she said to my reaching out to her, wondering if she would like to go on camera. I remain anonymous, yes, to protect my identity, but it is also a statement that all of these people are fighting for someone that they don't know. That's the beauty of it. I don't need labels, categories, to prove I am worthy of respect, to prove that I should be listened to. I'm coming out to you simply as a woman wanting to be heard. Yes, there is plenty more that I'd like to tell you about me. For now, I'm every woman.
I'd like for you to take me inside the courtroom at that moment when she stood up with, I assume, 12 single-spaced typed pages in her hands and somehow made it through a statement I couldn't even make it through. Can you give me some feel for that moment in the courtroom?
Sure. I mean, it was one of those moments that, as a prosecutor, you never can imagine will happen, and you won't ever probably have anything like that. She is so strong and so courageous. I stood next to her. I had my hand on her back, and I was with her as she poured through those words, and her voice shook, and she cried, and she pointed at her perpetrator. She pointed at her attacker. Her voice got loud, and I could hear people's heartbeats because the room was so quiet. They just wanted to hear her, and she really, truly got her day in court.
Okay, that's enough of that. It seems that this CNN report here, it just keeps playing video after video about the same issue. But I want to go ahead and read this article a little bit here. Widespread outrage has erupted over a California judge's decision to give a former Stanford University swimmer a six-month jail sentence for sexually assaulting an unconscious woman. Critics are blasting the decision as far too lenient. Prosecutors had asked that Brock Turner be sentenced to 6 months in prison for the January 2015 assault. A controversial sentence was followed by the release of two dueling letters to the judge about the case that had been widely shared and sparked further outcry. One from the victim, who described the ordeal in 12 searing pages, and another from Turner's father, who dismissed his son's crime as 20 minutes of action. Well, I hadn't really been following this case. I did hear about it last year when it first came out. But I really can't fathom what goes into young men's or men's supposedly adult men's minds if they would come upon a unconscious woman. I guess apparently the way this young man thinks, it's okay to sexually assault her, allegedly anyways, but I myself personally don't think that would be right, and I couldn't do anything like that myself. Okay. Trying to get back to this article here after I hit something I wasn't supposed to. But, yeah, I mean, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just a kook. I don't know. Maybe I don't think right. Maybe this young man, oh, come on. Okay. Sorry about that, everyone. I got things going off here that I don't need to go off. But as I mentioned, maybe this young man has it right. Maybe an unconscious woman is right for the taking, right for the picking. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong in the chat that an unconscious woman should be left alone. Maybe I'm just a kook, or maybe I'm just too old-fashioned. I don't know. Somebody please let me know. But, 6 month sentence. I don't know if that's going to be, I don't know if that'll really give him, something to think about. Maybe this young man has some money behind him, his father or something. Apparently there's a, high powered attorney, as the report said, that was hired to look into this, young woman's background. I think in her own words to find something about her to disrepute her her story. I think that's the way it went. I don't know. But that seems to be one of the big problems I do have with the law system, the lawyers, defense lawyers, and the district attorneys and the judges. That seems to be the case for the most part. They hire somebody to find dirt on someone else to try to break their story apart. I know we see it in the TV shows over here in America a lot, and in the movies too. That's one of their big little tricks. They try to find dirt on someone else to make their story less appealing and to make the perpetrator's story sound more convincing, I think. Interesting the way the judicial system works. Anymore, it doesn't seem to be about truth and right and wrong. It seems to be about what an attorney can show 12 people in a jury, what they can make something else appear like, whose story can be more believable. That seems to be the way the judicial system works anymore, at least in the last, 100 plus years or so. It's all about who you know, and it's all about what you can show and what you can prove. It doesn't seem to be about truth or justice anymore. It just seems to be about the illusion that is. So I think I'm going to put at least one more song on here, and maybe two, I don't know. Gather some more thoughts. I know there's a lot of material out there. If anybody does want to talk about something, they're more than welcome to come on and join me. Otherwise, I will continue on. We'll be right back again in a few minutes, everyone. All right, welcome back after that another little break there. I still want to say again, if anybody would like to come on and join me, they're more than welcome to. Otherwise, I will just waffle on with my own thoughts. But this is Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts. But I did want to go into another direction here. People that are able to change their minds. I have admitted on air that I did drink the Kool-Aid. I did drink the red flavor Kool-Aid over here in America. That's the Republican Party. I bought most of the rhetoric that the mainstream media put forth. For a long, long time, I considered myself a Republican, a conservative, whatever you want to call it. I voted for the Republican Party because my parents did. And that kind of a party appealed to me. It appealed to the same belief system that I did, apparently, up until, I don't know, I would say probably George Bush Jr. probably. He just kind of rubbed me wrong. And then after that is when I did enroll into college and start to learn. Started to think for myself. I always joke to myself that they let the wrong man into college. They let the wrong man learn something new. They let the wrong man learn about their system. I just wonder how many people do know that there is something wrong with the system. They're just turning a blind eye to it. I imagine that there's quite a bit. And I don't know if it bugs them or not. But I do know it bugged me when I first had my paradigm blown apart. I first realized that there wasn't any difference between the two political parties here in America, that they were working hand in hand, step by step, to bring us to where we are today. I think it is apparent. I think the old joke, maybe it was former wrestler that turned to a Minnesota politician, Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. He said on an interview one time that politics is just like wrestling. People fight like cats and dogs when the cameras are on them, but when the cameras are turned off, they're all smacking each other in the back and laughing and joking and telling each other that they did a good job today deceiving the people. Tell themselves that they're gonna have total control someday. They're gonna be kings or queens or whatever the case happens to be. And the more I research it, the more it seems apparent that the political system, the one side helps the other. If it's down, or if it's being attacked by something, the other side will come in and help. They will protect their system at all costs. I do believe that. And at any cost, they will throw any of their politicians under the bus to keep their system alive, keep their system going. Well, I've gotten a Skype contact here, so I might be getting a guest. I'm going to put another tune on quick and see if I'll get a quick call. I'm trying to look for a song I haven't played, so, and one that's not too long. All right, here we go. Be right back in a minute, everyone. A couple minutes. And welcome back after that little AC/DC Bon Scott song there. You're right, P.O. He was probably my favorite AC/DC singer, lead singer, anyways. The Australian band for AC/DC. I do have a guest. I don't know if you can hear that in the background there. He's making all kinds of noise, but I want to welcome Dodger to the show. Welcome, Dodger.
No problem, Savo, yeah.
You said it's been a while since you come on and had a rant, huh?
Well, it was a week ago, but that was the first time in a long time, yeah.
Whose show did you come on last week?
It was a John's show.
John McGann? John
McSay, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a dub like myself. I don't know where he's from, the north side, maybe. Could be wrong. But that was the first rant I had in maybe a year. On the radio, just find that sometimes you feel you have to talk to somebody, because when you keep looking out and you see the rubbish that's going on.
Well, that's why we have Skype, and that's why we have these little computers, and that's why we're doing this. So we can get on and speak our voice, speak what's on our mind.
Yeah, you made me laugh. I made myself laugh when I was thinking about when we were talking earlier on. You were saying about dropping nuggets to people. Do you remember, just in coffee shops or whatever?
Yeah.
I did be laughing at myself, because anytime I say to you, anytime I open my mouth or interject in conversations about this kind of stuff, I mean, it just. Literally, the people are just sometimes are just blown away, or they just can't understand. It's as if you're speaking a foreign language. They can't seem to understand what you just said. You mean, I'd say to them, listen, honey, your politicians, they lie to you all the time about everything, and they can't grasp that. No,
every single thing.
Everything. You are being lied to all the time about everything. The science, religion, anything you name.
The news.
That fucking line. We don't know whether the earth is flat, round, triangular.
And I really don't care either.
What shape it is.
And I really don't care either.
We can't find any proof for any of it anyway.
No. No. I don't know for what it's worth. I have told people I do have a college degree in journalism. So I have been let in on some of the little aspects that actually go on during the as far as the reporting goes. They taught me how to deceive people. You know, they taught me all of the rhetoric that goes on in the mainstream, all of the rhetoric that goes on in the advertising and in the judicial system. It all gets taught to people that want to have a certain sort of career, whether it's a journalist or
a politician
or a lawyer. All that stuff gets taught to them.
Yeah, well, over here, years ago, when I was in my 20s, for some strange reason, the lads picked me every now and again. They need a shop steward. The joke was with shop stewards was you'd put the young fellow in front. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
The eager beaver, you know, the elf fellas would sit in the background and they throw the bombs. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I thought it was a good idea because I was a bit of a lazy fucker. And I'd seen all the meetings these fellas went to. They were taken off the job and they'd be gone for hours and someone else would have to cover the work. So I said, I'll do some of that. But they sent me on a course, the union, and the job had to pay me wages or something. This was years ago. And we went through all that stuff. Some of the stuff was amazing. They were teaching you all the different theories. And there was a thing. They were actually using old film, and it was all from the United States, and it was all produced by the Catholic Church, and it was on industrial relations and shop stewards and how to go through the procedures of negotiation and all. I found that funny at the time. It never occurred to me. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you'd still find some of them old films somewhere. They were like instructional, like little documentaries, but for an audience like that in a college or somewhere you were learning, you know, they were in black and white.
Yeah.
And they were from the, I think they must have been from the 40s or 50s. And I'm looking at this stuff, all this stuff that was taught out. And what you're talking about there, media studies is another one. It was another one of these, they invented a name for it, but it was basically the same thing, but done in a different way. How to endorse each other and pump up each other's stories and, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. How to infer things and not be called a lawyer, but you get people thinking a certain way.
Yes, yes.
But you actually didn't say it. But that would make give more... mileage to the story.
Well, sure,
I presume that's what you're talking about. Yeah, stuff well, like that.
I'll give you a for instance. Somebody will make a claim about our president Obama, and he'll be at one of his little speech things there, you know, in front of people and the cameras and that, and he'll give out this claim he'll say a phrase or something like. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. And all of us know that it's just a blatant lie. But just because he says it's not true, that doesn't mean that it's not true.
There was another one. Was it Lyndon Johnson? When he was gone for the, presume it was Texas, must have been in the 50s. Someone put out about his opponent. I think he said it himself. I got it into the newspapers. He said something about his brother. He had heard that his brother or something was a homo sapien. Now, you have to think of the word homo sapien.
Homo sapien or homosexual?
Homo sapien.
Okay.
So all the voters wouldn't vote for him. Uncle Nahum, he's a homo sapien. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. That's what you're talking about. You know, using language. And people haven't a clue. I heard one guy here the other day. By the way, I'm in a secret location in the south of Spain at the minute.
Yeah.
But
well, that's okay. You're still on planet Earth.
Well, I'm a couple of thousand miles from my own. I'm about 1,200 miles from my own place. I didn't fall off the edge yet. I'm okay. But I heard one American guy here in a cafe saying he was talking to someone. The other way people are crowded into cafes, and I couldn't. It's just the way he was speaking. He was speaking to an English guy, and he was saying, "People will believe anything," he says. And he was talking about the situation in the world, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't with them, you know. But I'm beginning to hear that some people saying this stuff, you know. But the only thing that worries me is he was kind of the, shall we say, the slightly elderly generation. I don't know whether the young people are noticing. You see, I can see it. I can see the difference. Because I remember what it was like when I was young. You know what the world looked like. I know it was just as mad. But it's completely different. Everything has changed. It's topsy-turvy, and it happens very quickly.
Well, you know, I think there was a time that the camera, the television camera, or the local TVs or the national TV cameras, they could be the best indicator on whether someone was lying or not, just by their actions. But I think there came a point, I don't know when that was, you know, like the late 60s or early 70s or 80s or whatever it happened to be, that they started to take these people that are politicians and they started working with them on their mannerisms, on their appearances, and their words. And they started to refine these people. And it's making it a lot harder to find out if somebody's lying on camera or not, because they are trained so well now.
Yeah, you said it there for me. That's what I was trying to, maybe when I was talking, when we were doing the trade union studies, the how to present yourself and speak, and in negotiation, that kind of stuff, and up before the public. And then they use a broader term for what I was saying, media studies, they call it.
Yes.
And it really comes from the advertising.
Well, just communication studies.
It's all tied in, isn't it?
It's also called communication studies.
That's a nice name for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's what struck me at the time, was this is all propaganda they're teaching.
Certainly, you know? It is, yeah.
And I was surprised that some of it was... a lot of the films they were using to show us or to teach us was actually from the Catholic Church. They had made a series of programs about, it was obviously to combat what they thought was communism, because the communists were making great headways in the industrial. So they needed people, and if you know what I mean, from the masses who were on their side and who could follow a procedure to sort out their differences in the workplace. But it was still all propaganda. And I don't really know if there's any difference between the Communist Party and the Catholic Church, to be honest with you.
Well, let me tell everybody here, and you too, Dodger, there's no difference between the communists and the socialists. And the fascists and the Marxists. There really isn't. Yeah. They're just different terms on the same pig, if you will, or the same bird, you know.
Yeah.
They just have another character to have someone to be attracted to have someone to follow. They actually taught me in college, Dodger, that there are only two isms. There's collectivism and there's individualism. All of the collectivists just have little sub-parties. They just have little sub-parties, yeah.
I know what you're saying, yeah. They belong to a group. Are you gone, Steve-o?
No, I'm here.
No, for a minute there, I thought the Skype was at the dropping.
Nope.
Yeah, they all belong to it. I just think there's one big government in the world. It's made up of all little governments who are franchises of the big government, of the big one.
Certainly.
You know, the shops look different, you know. You have McDonald's, you have Burger King, you have whatever, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, but they're all just franchises because they're all registered. They actually all live in a filing cabinet in Washington, D.C. They all live together. They party every night in the filing cabinet.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Because where do all these corporations register?
Well,
isn't there a place that everybody's registered into the one thing?
I think they all get registered to the Crown, and then after that, they all get registered to the Vatican.
But I thought they were all kept in. I thought it was Washington as well. No.
Nah, Washington D.C. just seems to be the sheriff for the world, you know. I think we've been picked to be the attack dog for the world.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very sad.
You know, it used to be, we used to think we were bad over here and things would be better in America. You know, and America was the big industrial power, and it's not the big power anymore. They've stripped it. They've done the same in England. They stripped all the industries out of it. They stripped them out of America. You know, and they tried to tell us it was because the Chinese were so competitive. All they did was move the corporations over there, or move their production.
Yes, and, that's all it is.
You know, remember looking at a thing about Detroit, you know, around the, what you call it, Lake Michigan there, is it?
Well, Detroit is over near Lake Erie.
Yeah, well, it's one of the big lakes, yeah. And all the industries that were there. And Detroit become like a ghost town.
Yeah, it has. That's actually on the other side of the state from me. I'm on the other side. Detroit is in the southeast, and I'm in the southwest of the state of Michigan.
Yeah. And it's like, how could that happen in such a short time, you know?
Well, greed and profits go above quality and profit. Prestige. Greed and profits come first.
Yeah, but behind it all, I don't think it's. I know we use money and we use the terms competitiveness and. They use all of that. But I really think it's just about control. They're using the money, all right. They're using all of that to get us killing each other.
Well, yeah, they're... against each other. Certainly. You know, I mean, it's... One has to step back and look at it at two different angles. You have to step back and look at it as a producer, and you have to step back and look at it as a consumer. Well, let's just take Detroit and the car industry there, Dodger. It's much more profitable for a company like Chrysler to build their production down in Mexico or some other South American country that the wages are a lot less. I think they would probably pay... somebody in South America like 85 cents an hour, but up here in America they would have to pay somebody about $24 an hour or more for that same production.
Yeah, you see, that's because what they've done is they've you see, that's kind of relative depending on the country you're in. It used to be when you had tariff controls like 80 cents or whatever it is an hour down in South America, it probably still is below what it should be, but it would be easier to live on that.
Well, certainly it is. Certainly it is.
You know, it's a relative thing. It's no use saying, like years ago would have been, you know, what you were getting paid in one country, you couldn't really compare it. Just in a numerical sense, you know, say it's $10 there and only $1 there. I had to spend my $10 where I was, and everything else, the price of everything else was a par with that. You know what I mean? People don't see that. So if you go down to Mexico, it's like over here. We can go around here now and you can actually live fairly cheap. You can eat cheap still in certain parts of Spain where we are, and you can live fairly cheap, a lot cheaper than I could live in Ireland. But the Spanish who live here are probably, maybe they're getting a bit less of a wage. The what do you call that? The basic minimum wage is probably less. I don't know. It's very hard to compare, you know. Not saying it's right what they're doing. Like Mexico or any of these countries are in a terrible state. The whole of South America. Like after centuries of fucking slaughter, you know, they've never been able to stand on their own two feet. And you had a big, powerful country to the north who just did what it liked, basically, you know, driven by the crown, as you say. Like all that happened there was King George, same as it was done here in my country. They offered him a different contract and said, well, you can do it this way. We're changing it anyway.
Yeah.
And we want you to go out there and be like your real patriots so we can get the change we want. And that's what happened. You know, and it's the same everywhere. The national hero, you know, the people that...
Nationalism. A lot of,
the national... Say that again, Steve.
Nationalism.
Yeah. the what do you call it, the national character. They give each nation, they tell everybody that the people here are like this and the people over there, they're a bit different, they're like that. They give you a national character, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's,
and they tell you to be patriotic to it, you know.
Yeah, that's
bullshit.
That's one of the big, actually, two of the big criticisms with the with people like me on the internet. I mentioned before you come on, I would have considered myself a nationalist. You know, I was all for America and all for God and all for country.
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue. You know, Yankee Doodle Dandy, if you want to look at it that way. But once I came to the to the realization of their manipulations and their deceptions, you know, burning the flag isn't going to symbolize anything for me anymore. It just doesn't, you know, it all of these groups, all of these Muslim groups and all of these South American Mexican groups that will get in front of a camera and burn a flag, it only serves to get people mad. And that's just why they do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, they're playing to the things you were trained. You were trained to behave this way.
That's the key word. Trained. Yeah.
And when you see your whatever it is being attacked, gets your blood going, helps during the war. It's amazing how, I remember when George Bush was getting everyone hyped up about going into Iraq and Afghanistan, and I could see it in play. And there's something so childish about it.
It is. It's so childish with the manipulations and the deceptions that people just can't see it.
Yeah, but that's what amazed me. Now, just me personally, all my life looking at this and seeing that and over and over again. And you'd say, when I was younger, I used to think, I know people were making progress. We'll learn, we'll get wise. But it's actually gotten fucking worse.
Well, that's the entertainment system. That's the Hollywood, the music, the celebrities, the sports. That's all their distraction, and that's all getting.
It's insane.
More and more sophisticated.
I wonder, is there really a lot of people actually, in terms of what. Years ago when the television came out, when everyone first getting televisions back in the 50s and the early 60s, everyone was glued, sort of. There wasn't as many channels, obviously. But
well, yeah. Have you ever heard that story I've told on air quite a few times?
Which one? No.
Well, there's a... he's actually born a Scot. And then his family moved to, I think it's Eastern Canada when he was a boy. But, or when he was a young man or whatever. But he tells a story back in Scotland when he was a young boy. There was a park in his little city, in his town or whatever. And even during the week, any time during the week, you might see 1,000 people in that park doing things that people do in parks. But
yeah.
When television come into his city, his town, just within a few weeks, you couldn't find 50 people in that park. Where,
yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, where just a few weeks earlier, there was 1,000 people. Television had captivated his city.
Yeah, but I wonder, is it like that now?
Well, certainly it is.
Well, there's so much of it. It's everywhere. Like, if you go out in the evening here, if we go for a walk, I do see lots of people out, sitting out. There's a square up front of us. There's a big church in the middle of the square, but if you go up there in the evening when it's still bright out, it's dark here now, it's about 20 degrees, it's lovely, but if you go up to that square, and all you'll see is people sitting around on benches and kids playing.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable thing to see. I can understand they're at home in Ireland, sometimes it can be cold at night, but I remember as a kid, but people had bigger families when I was a kid. I can remember you'd walk down any street in Ireland and you couldn't move for the amount of kids that were playing on the street, either kicking ball or just getting up to all sorts of devilment, you know.
Yeah.
But they were out on the street or up along the canal there where we lived. In the suburb where I lived, there was a canal ran through it, like at the back of it, and it was all old fields, a kind of a waste. Would have been a part industrial that had been gone back to the wild, you know what I mean? And that was a great secret rendezvous for the likes of us. We'd all go up there, you know.
Well, that, I mean, that's
teenagers and all, you know.
That's the same way it was for me too, Dodger. I just turned 52, you know, just a few weeks back, and we didn't have computers. We didn't have PlayStations. We didn't have Nintendos. We didn't have those things. We had American footballs, and we had soccer balls, and we had baseballs, and we had basketballs. We were out playing ball, some sort of a ball, all the time, even in the winter, even in snow and ice.
Yeah. We'd often go up, we'd light fires. I can remember time. No, it wasn't right what we were doing, but I mean, we were left to our own devices. We'd light fires. Maybe we'd buy a couple of flagons of cider, or maybe we'd pick up a few potatoes out of a plot. Some people had plots along the canal, but we'd pick up a few potatoes. We'd cook the potatoes. You know, we were able to do all that, even build little bits of shelter sometimes.
Yeah, tree houses. We built a lot of those.
Tree houses. It was no carpenters in my gang.
Well, I mean, you couldn't call them a treehouse anyways. They were just...
That was Vinny's gang.
Yeah. Well, we just... I mean, whatever type of wood we could find, we just found wood and nails and put them up in a tree and called it a treehouse.
No, that's kind of real. That's real sentimental stuff. I'm a bit older than you anyway. But
did you see that comment by Petty?
No, I didn't look at it. I mustn't look at it. I don't try not to look at stuff. I might get embarrassed if anyone says anything about me. How long?
He said, tell Dozer he was never a kid. He was a child when they have kids in America. I see. You were a lad or a child. He said, kids are in America.
Oh, sorry. we call them kids as well. We do in Dublin anyway.
Yeah.
But, Now we can see, you can see all that, even what they're teaching them in school. I don't know what they're teaching them in school. I was saying to John there, you can't do the adding up sums anymore because they don't add up the same way that we used to add up when we were taught in school. They do something else. We used to just
the common core.
Oh yeah, well this, I don't know what it is. Common core, the beautiful love mathematics, whatever they call it. Having a clue what they call
it. I guess the way I understand it, I haven't really looked into it much, but there really isn't a right answer. There's just an answer. Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't really matter to the people in Common Core.
There isn't an answer.
Yeah.
There isn't a right answer. Well, that's all that gobbledygook, isn't it? It's just to get us all in and feel the love. What's the song? Kumbaya?
Kumbaya, yeah.
You know, all that kind of nonsense. But really, a kind of what's frustrating is, and you hear a lot of people saying, what do we do about it?
Well,
I keep thinking about that all the time.
We just have to keep plugging away, I think, Dodger. We just have to keep talking to friends and relatives and people that we meet.
You know, sometimes when I hear, you'd hear the lads on there, you know, with the thing that they're doing on the site there about the official offer and
the roadshow,
the
roadshow. I think that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, well, but it's not. It's to hear the stories about people getting thrown out of homes. It's not even. If you watch some of the videos there, people will be standing there while the sheriff comes up. You know, all this kind of stuff. I feel terrible. What do the families feel? You know.
Yeah, I do.
And it gets hard to listen to it sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to listen to any more of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm hearing it all the time. It can be very grating on your mind. You know, And at the same time, when you go out and you see all these fucking ages cheering at the football, like, I know I shouldn't say that. Sounds like a real cynic. It was kind of part of my problem growing up. We just got cynical about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me now why people do that. I don't know whether people's lives are so miserable that their team, they hang on every thread, whether their team wins or loses, you know. If their team wins, they feel good. If their team doesn't win, they feel worse. They feel bad. It seems to me over here in America, that's the way people live their lives, on how their team does.
But it's not that. It's the animation that kind of stuff brings to them. I mean, they get so emotional about rubbish. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, to be arguing over.
Yes, I do.
Kicked
yeah.
the ball with his left foot, not his right foot. And look what the ref done, and the ref was this. And they're pulling their hair out.
Yeah.
I mean,
their entire lives hang on their team's fate.
It's no, I was reading a thing today. I went back to it. I read a lot of stuff. And over the course, I stopped reading there. I fucked out loads of books one time, out of the house one time, a good few years ago now. But I was reading the Nuremberg, the trials. It's just a thought for anyone.
Right.
I know there's a lot of people. This was a time when I believe when those men went in there to hold them trials. Now, the government set it up. They obviously set it up. They had an agenda. You know, the Russians, the whatever, the Americans, the British, and whatever.
Well, that my opinion on that, Dodger, is that was already a foregone conclusion.
I'm not talking about who won the war and what way it was going to go and all of that. I'm not talking about the logistics of that war was worked out before the war happened.
Yeah,
there wasn't a point. I mean, the truth is that war ran on American industry.
Yeah.
Russia couldn't have fought without American industry. They supplied them with all their trucks.
Yeah. Oh,
engines.
Yeah.
Engines. They gave them everything.
Yeah. They supplied the Nazis too.
Yeah. The American war machine was already nearly in full production before Japan, supposedly. I know Japan did attack her, but they were goaded into it. It was all set up.
Certainly they were.
And but their production was already, they already knew which way it was going to go.
Actually, I don't want to sound like a big conspiracy theorist, but there was evidence out there that shows that Hitler was goaded into war by both Churchill and Roosevelt in America.
Oh, I think it was the Jewish National Congress declared war on Germany in far back as the late 1920s or early 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before, and he got so mad that supposedly then he brought in all the race laws in about 1935. But he was already agreed to repatriate Jews to Palestine.
Yeah.
And paid our bills and all. Goebbels was in negotiation with the World Congress of Jews. Stuff like that was going on in the background.
Forgotten or not taught about history. Yes.
Yeah.
The winners get to write history.
But what was the big joke after the First World War? Who was the Minister for Finance in Germany that was negotiating in Versailles? And who was the Minister for Finance, or whatever you call them, who was negotiating on the American side?
That I don't know.
Wasn't it Max Warburg and the other Warburg? I think it was his fucking brother.
Paul.
One was on the American, Paul, yeah, Paul.
Yeah.
One was negotiating for the American side, the other was negotiating. I mean, if that doesn't slap you in the face,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And some of the Jew politicians like Woodrow Wilson, like, I mean, just a politician. Okay, he knew something. He was in with the gang, bit of a crook, you know. But I don't think he's seen the extent of it, how they're being played, you know. But anyway, he was talking about the Nuremberg thing. I think that this the destruction had reached such a when it became obvious what had gone down, the amount of people that died, you know, 50 million plus, I don't know, whoever has the figure, that there were good men in positions of power, in office, in certain offices. Like, they weren't necessarily politicians, but they held offices within the states of whatever country they were in. And they couldn't be held back because of what had happened. The slaughter was so much.
Right.
That it was better for the Satan or the crooks, whatever you want to call it, to keep the head low while it was going on and wait till it blew over, you know. But they came in and they, for the first time, I think, what happened was they, by what they'd done in the court, it meant that they had removed indemnity from anyone in office. If you were part of that slaughter, they held you responsible, not the office, not the organization, or not the country as a corporation.
Yeah.
You know, where you can blame a corporation and find them, but you can't shoot the fuckers. As, yeah.
Well, look
as
at the...
Patters look, be saying.
Yeah, look at the fact that over 1,000 scientists were taken out of Germany before the end and sent to America, sent to Canada, sent to many countries.
Yeah, well... You take it to what was going on in some of these camps. No, not them all. Like, in some of them, they were doing medical experiments that they could never get away with in their own countries.
Yeah.
Because they were working, doing these experiments, really. It wasn't an individual who was kind of a perverted individual who had a certain type of curiosity, was just doing it for his own benefit. He was doing it because big corporations and, you know, chemistry places wanted to find out to the nth degree how the human body and mind worked.
And how it reacts to...
all sorts of substances. Yeah. They try different substances and see what happens. Give them some of that and see what happens to them.
Yeah.
And they could do that and they would have a vast amount of knowledge. And it didn't matter what havoc they caused. And they were hands off. Their hands were clean, so as they thought. And they had all these head cases doing all this stuff for them. And then they'd bring them back over into their own country, depending on what they had been working on and what their interests of was of that industrial power that was now taking them.
Yeah.
To finish their work now. They had done the dirty work, the groundwork, the laboratory testing. Now it was time to put it into practice.
Yeah.
And they had the infrastructure waiting for them to sit in the job. You know, it was, when you think about how, the amount of tar and, you know, just the planning that had to go into that to make all that work and bring it all back, you know. And then, you know, it's all, as you say, it's the history you're not taught. But even if you weren't taught it, there's the thing, Steve. If you look at the world, you can kind of work out what's going on. You can kind of say to yourself, well, hold on a minute. Blah, blah, blah. Like what I was saying. It's very hard to kind of justify to say that it was just one nutcase running riot inside a concentration camp, playing to his own perversion, as if there was nobody overseeing him and watching him what he was doing.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense, because I'm sure there was plenty of, even in the German army and in any of these camps, there was people watching and seeing what was going on. They were men, they had, some of them had hearts like everyone else. They might have been overcome with patriotism and all of that, their training. But something, if you're a man, something always inside you knows and can see what's going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Certainly, yeah. I say repeatedly on air that these people in the police and the Garda over there in Ireland and the military, they know between right and wrong, and they're choosing to do wrong. It's a choice.
Yeah, but do you see what I was saying there about indemnity?
Yeah.
That was the first time, and it was in the Nuremberg trials, because what that was wrath. You know what I mean by wrath? These men who were in these positions, whether they were judges or barristers, and who had to try these and run these courts, that's what they had, because they looked at the evidence And when they put forward their judgments or whatever they did, they couldn't be stopped by the powers in their own country, because what they were doing was right, and it was the wrong time to try and stop them.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop them. And what wrath means to me, you know, people say, you know, when it says, when the Lamb opens the book, his wrath will be known. Wrath is righteous fucking anger put into action.
It is.
It's doing something about it. It's not anger per se. It's not anger because you look in the mirror and your hair's falling out. It's you see a wrong and you're going to put it right. You know, it's a judgment.
Well, that's the thing. Depending on what type of a personality one has, what you do with information, if you find something's wrong, what you do with that information is, you know, depends on your personality, whether you have to try to make it right or whether you go along with the system.
It's what brought that back to me. I went back and I read it. I didn't read it. I went through some of it. Pat was talking about that Vatican letter, you know, what's a motto propria or something. It's in Italian anyway or Latin. where the Pope removed indemnity from office holders. If they were caught doing a wrong, they were responsible. But in actual fact, when you look at that, that is 70 years too late.
Yeah, that just happened like a year and a half to 2 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, but it really happened at the end of the Second World War.
Yeah.
And once that happened, it couldn't be changed now. And what happened after that was they made the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now, they weren't rights that are granted. They didn't grant us any rights. They didn't grant us any privileges. What happened was they had to recognize it because the courts in Nuremberg recognized a wrong as a wrong. And you couldn't hide behind a corporate logo. Basically, you couldn't say, oh, the party, your man gave me an order, so I had to shoot him. They said, no, you shot him. The party didn't shoot him. You shot him. And it took the Vatican 70 years to, and even the number, when I was thinking about it, 70 years, well, about 70 years. I think it's 70 years, yeah.
1946.
Yeah. And it's now 2016, and number seven.
Yeah.
The seventh day, the Sabbath day.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was 2-3 years after that, they made the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And what they did was they recognized it. They couldn't deny it anymore. You cannot harm a human being and there not be consequences. You can be taken to court and a judge, if you're standing as a human being and you can walk them through what they've done in the proper fashion, they will pay for it.
If you're allowed to in the court.
yeah, I know.
If they allow you to, yeah.
But at some stage, it has to happen. You know, I'm not saying I'm illegal. I'm just looking at some of the lads here. They'd put you to shame, some of the stuff they know, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know, I do.
I've never been fond of the law, you know what I mean? It's a case of I had to look at it, see what's going on, what are they doing to us? I know they're using law. There was a woman I used to listen to a couple of years ago, I don't know whether you ever heard, Tammy Pepperman. Did you ever hear of her?
I know the name, yes.
But she used to go, she blames all the lawyers in the world for it, because they write the law and they're the ones who are benefiting old, because behind every corporation is illegal.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, there was a time in the American Constitution where it was illegal for a lawyer to serve in Congress or the Senate or in government. Then the lawyers took care of that and they took over.
Yeah.
And now that's basically all there is lawyers in government.
Yeah, well, that's what they call them, isn't it? Attorneys. They turn to another master. Attorneys. That's what the word means, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone who turns to another. It's in the Bible, isn't it? They turn to another master. a torn out from the Latin.
Yeah.
To torn, to twist and torn.
Yeah.
And it's strange that they use them words straight in front of your face, isn't it?
Oh, certainly.
And nobody sees it.
How about the word spell? Spelling.
I know.
The root word is spell.
I know.
Actually, a lot of people don't realize that the people that back in ancient times, they were called Medites. The people that worked with medicine and the people that worked with spells and conjurers and stuff like that, they were called the Medites. That's where the word medicine comes from, I believe. And they were also called Magi, I think, too.
Yeah, well, a Magi, you know, that's a Persian.
Yeah.
But Medites, sometimes, though, Steve, I hear these things and you're kind of picking it from a local area, somewhere where, in particular, where maybe healers were associated with certain groups, but in other countries, healers wouldn't necessarily be associated with, like, you know, what you're talking about there, mumbo jumbo or conjurers or anything like that.
Yeah.
They would have genuinely healers. And then we take the word and we spread the word over everybody. We cover them all with the same term. It's like a kind of a globalization of a word. It didn't start in one. It starts in one location, and in that location, there might be different people associated with it than there would be in another part of the world. You know, like we would have had healers. It didn't necessarily mean they were evil or they were conjuring up demons. Healing is a separate, would be a separate thing. You know, this conjuring up demons. I always look at the word demon. If you look at the word demon, it's one of these words like live and evil. The word demon, it's almost backwards. If you pronounce it backwards, it's like named. Nom.
Right.
And spell it backwards. Nommed.
Right.
You're named. Spell it backwards. It's like the word life, L-I-V-E, and you swap it to the other side and it goes to evil. And another word would come in, it'd be vile, you know. Words like that, it's as if they're playing some kind of joke with words and phonics. You see it everywhere, you know. Sometimes it drives me mad when I get into the mood. I run them all through my head.
That's
right, they're nuts.
Yeah.
I wonder, are they playing that game? Is it that much of a joke? Because I remember someone once saying that the Greeks and the Latins, the Romans, they loved wordplay.
Certainly they did, yeah.
They loved the jokes, they loved the puns, they loved to play with the words, and you'd think you're hearing one word because it sounds like this, and right. Or they would say a word here, but slightly accent it.
That's where...
You think you're hearing a different word and all of this.
The Greeks is where the rhetoric came from. The original deceivers were the Greeks.
Well, I think it's older. I think it came through them. Because they were around the Mediterranean there, they would have been in contact with a lot of these, the Egyptians, Babylonians, and Persians. Do you know what I mean? Which would have been way, way older. I would have had a kind of a legacy, if you could call it that. I think Egypt was already gone to the dogs by the time the Greeks were rising, and they plagiarized all their stuff from Egypt, and a lot of it from... the bigger civilizations, if you can call them that, to the...
Mesopotamia?
To the east of them, yeah.
Yeah.
They were way, way older, and they were already rotten to the core by then themselves. Like, you know, they were the new boys on the block, the new America for their day, you know what I mean? And then all they did was shift to Rome. You know what I mean? They went to Italy and places like that. They brought their... I mean, they were the rich in... In ancient Rome would have been the part Greek families and part Roman families, do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They were an amalgam. Like, the learned people in Rome would have spoke Greek, you know that way? If you think about it, all the Bibles, supposedly, they all come from, especially the New Testament, most of it's translated from Greek and Aramaic. So they probably wrote, it was written mostly by the Greeks and the Aramaics, or what was the other language that was there? Ancient, what was it? Was that the language? Remember, Mel Gibson made a film he produced, and they were speaking ancient Aramaic or something.
Uh-huh.
He went that far. That was the language that would have been spoken around the Mediterranean there.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot mixed in with that would have been the old Gnostic stuff, you know, the old Christian stuff. It's amazing the amount of stuff that he didn't put into the Bible, you know, about Christianity and all the works. See, we have no idea about the amount of stuff that they've already destroyed or taken over. So, you know.
Not at all. No, we don't. Clueless.
I don't know whether we're running. Are we running over, Steve?
No, not yet. We still got about 8 minutes left until I want to put a song on for the end.
Yeah. Well, it was a nice little chat.
Are you getting knackered?
No, not really. It's just that the missus usually goes to bed about, it's about 12 o'clock over here now. I'm still on the veranda. It's still about 20 degrees.
Okay. So you're about an hour ahead of Ireland over there, huh?
Yeah, down here they are, yeah. We think Portugal is the same time. It gets confusing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All these time zones. as they say, there's only one time, and that's now.
That's right. That's right.
But, and I'm still trying to figure that out. If the earth is flat... How come you can't fucking see the sun no matter what time of day it is? Where would it go? We don't want to start that up. Someone would...
Well, Vince said,
would start putting stuff in the chat box.
Well, Vince said he's enjoying the chat. Great radio, Dodger.
No, it's a bit of a laugh. It's just, it gets the steam off me. Otherwise, it'd come out me fucking ears. But I didn't do enjoy it the odd time, you know. I haven't done it for a while. I was trying to keep my mouth shut, as they say, because I can't talk to people anymore. I just find them fucking idiots. I don't know what words.
Idiots.
Idiots, as we say, yeah.
We're going into idiocracy, it seems, Dodger.
Yeah. I remember looking at that film one night. What was it called? It was an American film.
Idiocracy. Idiocracy.
Yeah. Your mom wakes up, isn't it?
500 years, yeah. He gets put into his sleep.
It wasn't 5 years. It was the next fucking day.
No, it was 500 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Imagine waking up every morning and it was like that. But, I don't really don't know. But what we can do, unless you could actually broadcast on the national media and they couldn't hide it.
Uh-huh.
Unless there was a way through the law to do that.
Well, there's interesting. You should bring that up because there's a film coming out here pretty soon. It kind of basically takes on that scenario. A man over here in America hijacks a studio and tries to get the truth revealed. Out live on air, I guess.
I think I've seen this trailer. George Clooney.
George Clooney movie, yeah. That's going to be interesting to see.
You know, it's funny you say that. I don't really. I've just seen the trailer. The TV's on here all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't really be looking at it. I can't miss it. We're in an apartment. And what am I looking at the minute? I'm looking through the glass doors. There's a lot of monkeys in cages. They must be doing experiments on the monkeys. But we've seen the trailer of that. Just to mention George Clooney, the first thing was came into my mind. Do you remember Rosemary Clooney?
Yes, I do.
Wasn't that his aunt or something?
I think it was his mother.
His mother?
I'm not positive.
They keep everything in the family, don't they?
Or maybe it was his aunt. I'm not sure now. But that movie's called Money Monster.
Yeah, I think we've seen this right. I've seen him holding a gun, or someone holding a gun on him. Was that it? Getting them to say something, and all the detectives, the good police force.
Yeah.
Probably the beautiful FBI.
Uh-huh. But there, another film that I can recall that type of a scenario happening is, I think, the 1986 movie, They Live, with Roddy Piper.
We've seen that.
Do you remember in the beginning when somebody hacks into the TV system and they transmit their little message and then it goes away after 20, 30 seconds or whatever, and then they try to hack in again? And
I don't actually remember, Steve, because I actually got that when it actually came out.
Yeah.
I think all the VCRs were the rage at the time, weren't they?
Probably so, yeah.
The VCR, we had to get in the VCR, and I remember going down to the video shop and getting one of these.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a long time ago, 1986.
Yeah, 30 years ago,
I was probably had a bottle of beer and a few pizzas while I was looking at it.
Uh-huh.
That's a fucking long time ago. That long ago.
Yeah.
And that was such a simple movie, wasn't it?
It was. It was.
But it was very, what would you say, parabolic?
Yeah, I would, actually.
It was telling you something.
Yeah. And I think somebody talked to Roddy Piper years and years later, and he made the comment something like, well, that was supposed to have been a fantasy, not a documentary.
Yeah, but how long is he dead now?
I don't know.
I read somewhere he died. And
a year or so, maybe, a year and a half. I don't know.
But up till the end, he was taking the accolades. He was beginning to take the accolades. Maybe he thought he was just in the movie as an actor.
Uh-huh.
But they had built him up when people began to see that this might be talking about something real.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't see it.
Yeah.
But then after a while, I think he was maybe taking on some of the accolades that were being poured on him.
Yeah.
But he didn't know at the time. He didn't realize what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I got to end it here. That's about the end of here. So I got enough room for a song.
Okay, sure.
I appreciate you coming on.
Bed here.
Yeah. Well, okay. I appreciate you coming on, Dodger.
Okay, Steve. Well, we might do it sometime again. Yeah, please God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Wish you well then, Steve. I shall see you in the chat.
All right.
On radio again, I'm sure.
Okay.
Are you still in Colorado?
No, I'm back home in Michigan.
I bet you the weather would be warm there now, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's a place out there. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to fantasize about going over there and looking at all them mountains. You know, we used to go to the pictures every Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Your elf would give you a few bob, go down to the picture house of a Saturday afternoon. You're looking at Roy Rogers and fucking the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve.
Have a good night, though.
Yeah, you too. God bless.
Thanks. All right, everyone. Thanks for staying out. Kira's coming up next, so stay on for her. And I'll see everyone next Tuesday. Same time, same channel. PeoplesInternetRadio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts. It's Cancel the Cabal. Good night, everyone.